Hi, I'm Dino Likis, and welcome to Music 101. Music 101 is all about the music that I like. My top 5 music of the week, my top 10 music of the month, and a lot more. And today, I have my special guest, no other than Miss Angie.
Hey! Oh, I yayed for myself. I'm sorry.
Hey, how are you, Miss Anjay?
I am lovely. Thank you. Just ask anybody. And how are you today, Daniel?
Fabulous, like you.
Good to know. Good to know. Yeah, it's a good place to be.
Yes. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, since we had a couple of deaths in the music industry as of late, both of them were musicians, really famous people. Like there was Jeff Beck, who is one of the top guitarists in the world. Yeah, arguably, if not the best, you know, and the other was Lisa Marie Presley.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Who didn't notice probably or pay much attention to her other than who her mother was or a few things, or that she married Michael Jackson. But she was also a musician, a vocalist, and she played guitar. And I had a couple of her albums, and I loved her. But yeah. because it was the wound is a little fresh for me on that one. Yeah, and for Jeff Beck, for a lot of people, I thought that we'd go with another person who is a phenomenal guitar player who not a lot of people, I don't think, are familiar with, but should be, because he sells out like huge stadiums. He did Royal Albert Hall twice and sold it out for 2 nights. Wow. Yeah, and he is absolutely an amazing guitar player, and he's got a great backstory. So I thought we'd go with this guy. His name is Mr. Joe Bonamassa.
Wow. The name itself is like one of a kind.
It is, and it's long, and it took me a long time to figure out how to spell it.
Long, eh? Joe Bonamassa. So what can you say about Joe Bonamassa?
What can't I say about Joe Bonamassa, really?
Can't.
he is a guy who started playing guitar at the age of 4. Like, that's a long time. I know a lot of people stick an instrument in a kid's hand and hope that something will come through. But his parents he was raised in New York, in Utica. Utica, I think it's called. If that's how you pronounce it. New York.
Yeah.
And his parents owned a music shop. And his dad, of course, listened to all the rock. He was born in, I think, 77, it was. And so his dad was like, of course, he's got a music store. He's going to be listening to all the top bands, all the rock bands and everything. And he played an awful lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan, a lot of Eric Clapton, a lot of bluesy stuff too, like B.B. King and such. And when Joe was 4 years old, he heard Stevie Ray Vaughan and he went, that's it. I've got to do this. So he got his first guitar at the age of 4. And when he was 7, he got his first adult guitar, like not the little dinky little kids one that they give you, but he got his first adult guitar, electric guitar. And by the time he was, I think it was 8, yes, he was playing with B.B. King.
Oh, wow.
That is amazing to me.
Yes. What do you expect? B.B. King.
Like the biggest blues name in the world, really.
Yes.
Next to John Lee Hooker, in my opinion. But I'm a big blues fan, so, you know, I still think B.B. King is probably got it on this one.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so he went to school like a normal kid. I watched an interview on TV about him through, I think it was a Canadian, like, CTV. They did an interview with his family, and they showed him going to school at the age of 12, and he was playing regularly, doing concerts by the time he was 12, with, like, opening up for big bands all over the place. And his mom was talking on there about how they get a phone call on like a Wednesday, and it would be BB King and going, "I need Joe for tomorrow night to come and open and to do some licks with me." And she'd go, "Well, tomorrow's a Thursday," and he'd go, "Yeah, but we're just playing just a little ways out of town at this big concert, and can we have him for a couple hours?" She go, "You know he can't play. He has homework." And he go, "Okay." So he could only ever take Joe on the weekends because he had to be at home. He had to study. He had to do his homework, or they weren't going to let him be a guitar player.
Yes. So let's give a little bit background of Joseph Leonard Bonham. He was born May 8, 1977. He's an American blues rock guitarist, singer, and songwriter. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. It's all like three in one.
Well, he had to work hard at the vocal part, but you'll find that out later. So,
yes. He started his career at the age of 12 when he opened for B.B. King. Wow.
Yeah, in actuality, the first time he opened for him, he was 8, so...
That's be awesome. Since 2000, Bonham Massa has released 15 solo albums through his independent record label, J&R Adventures, of which 11 have reached number one on the Billboard Blues chart. Wow.
Yep.
That's phenomenal, right?
Yo, he's fabulous. Oh, he was a big fan of Jeff Beck's too, by the way.
Oh. That'd be awesome. So let's give a little bit background of B.B. King, because for those people who don't know B.B. King, he was an American blues singer, songwriter, guitarist, and record producer. He introduced a sophisticated style of soloing based on fluid string blending or string bending, shimmering, vibrato, and staccato picking. Yeah. That influenced many later blues electric guitar players. Wow. So B.B. King is famous in the blues genre.
Very, very famous. Yeah. Yeah, and a big name. And he was a big man, I can tell you that. He never played standing up.
Yeah. So Bonham Massa has played alongside many notable blues and rock artists. And he earned 3 Grammy Awards nominations.
Yeah, unfortunately, he never got, I don't think he ever got, I couldn't find anywhere that he'd gotten an actual win, but he'd been nominated.
Yeah, only nominated, eh?
Yeah, but he did win in the blues category for their blues ceremonies, you know, the blues foundations. He won the B.B. King Entertainer Award, Lifetime Entertainer Award, which is a very prestigious award for anybody who plays blues. And he won the Instrumentalist Guitar Awards. He won the Life Achievement thing. So,
yes, and these are the nominated song of Joe Bonham Massa. So these are the songs. Best Blues Album. Okay. Best Traditional Blues Album and the Best Contemporary Blues Album are all nominated for the Grammy, but not win, right?
Yeah, which is really unfortunate. But I kind of understand it because I've been a fan of his for a pretty long time and I've gotten all of his DVDs of his concerts, like at the Royal Albert Hall, because that is an extreme privilege to be asked to play there. And since he's done it twice, I mean, that's sort of where it came in. When I have a little story about about this is PBS used to show these commercials about things that were going on, right? And I'd be watching TV. And my husband, of course, is a rock guitarist and a fairly well-known tech. He fixes and builds guitars and across Canada and the States. And him and his friends were constantly going to these concerts, and we'd go to a concert a week for the first 5 or 6 years we were together. And I remember him calling me and going, "Do you want to go to a Joe Bonamassa concert?" He goes, "Me and Rick are going." And I went, and I was in a mood, and I went, "Oh my God, why would I want to go to another one of these stupid concerts? All I do is stand there and listen to you guys be mad at them because they're so good." And I ripped him one. And then about a week later, and I didn't think of the name that he had said that he was going to see. But a week later, I'm watching TV and I see this PBS thing. And it's about this guy who's playing at Royal Albert Hall. And I'm listening, and they're really long commercials because it's PBS, right? They can do, like, that was part of their, it was half an hour of showing this concert. And I watched this for about probably a month. I watched this thing over and over and over every time I was on the channel. And I phoned up my husband when he was at work, and I went, "You know what? Have you ever heard of this guy? He looks like he's phenomenal. We should really go and see him." And he goes, "I just asked you if you wanted to go to his concert a couple of months ago, and you just ripped me a new one." And I went, Oh, is that who you're talking about? And so I ended up getting the DVD, and then we've seen him 3 times since. We went in Vancouver to the Queen Elizabeth Theater.
Yeah.
Because he plays really classy places. He's not going to do he's not going to do the arena or anything, even though he'd probably fill it. But he likes the better acoustics because that's what he's all about. So, yeah, we saw him 3 times. And the last time we saw him, he had the flu really bad. And they told him not to even go on, but he did anyways. And he still sounded unbelievable.
Yes. So let's check about some of his songs. Let's say A New Day Yesterday, what released in 2000. What can say about it?
I love that song.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's the classic A New Day.
Oh, like
if you've ever heard it before, you can look it up. And he just does a brilliant job of it. And I absolutely loved it. There's nothing about Joe that I don't love. I kind of got a crush on him, but he's kind of a geek, you know? Yeah.
Because
because he was so into the guitar that he didn't really care about much else that was going on. And it isn't like he tries not to make, everybody knows that drummers have a drummer face, right?
Yes,
and guitar players have, when they hit high notes, they do these faces, because I'm married to one of these guys. And they do faces, and he has his, but he keeps it under control somewhat, but he's still sort of a geek. And he used to be like much heavier with long, greasy, hippie hair.
Yes.
And now he lost all this weight. And when he changed his genre, sort of when he started getting more blues rock, you know?
Yes.
And I just sort of went, you know, that's kind of I kind of like those intellectual looking types, because he had glasses and everything.
Wow.
And then I told my girlfriend about it, and she said, "Oh, you know, I don't like the geeky type." And then she watched a few of his videos and went, "I think I have a crush on him." And I said, "You know, that's not his look. I figured out it's his playing. It just gets to you."
Yes.
It buries itself. It attaches to your soul, I swear. Yes. But no, that's a great, great song.
Yes, and he said it's a debut studio album by American blues rock musician Joe Bonamassa, recorded at Pyramid Recording Studios in Ithaca, New York. It is produced by Tom Dodd, and released on October 24, 2000.
Do you have the information? Was it Epic Records?
No, by independent record label.
Oh, okay.
Okay. In tandem with Epic Records and 550 Music. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
true what you said, Epic Records.
Yeah, he's been with Epic for a really, really long time. But I know he does some independent stuff too. So, but he writes most of his own stuff too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The album registered at number 9 on the US Billboard Top Blues Album Chart and spawned the singles Miss You, Hate You in 2001 and Color and Shape in 2002. Wow. Nice song, eh? So
Oh.
how about the song So It's Like That in 2000, it was released 2002.
Oh, that's a fabulous song. I can't say anything wrong with any of his songs. So it's like that is a great tune. It's sort of like, oh, really? So that's how you're gonna present it to me, you know? And he makes it, he writes it in the way that, or he presents it in a way that you don't know if he's talking to a girl who's putting down her foot and demanding something, or if he's talking about a record label or a manager or something. You know what I mean? Like, oh,
Yeah.
so you think you can just make the law and everybody's going to go along with it? And
Yes.
it's a great tune. It's up tempo and it's very good. Yeah.
I said, so it's like
Yeah.
that.
So it's like that, eh? Yeah, it should have A on the end if you're Canadian.
It's recorded largely at a hard drive recording studio in North Hollywood, California, and Blue Iron Gate Studio in Santa Monica, California. It was primarily produced by Cliff Magness with the additional production of Dave Bassett. Wow. And contrary to both Bonamassa 2000 debut album, A New Day Yesterday, which featured a mix of songs and cover. So he's doing cover version too.
He does, yeah, he does a little bit of everything. Like he does a lot of blues covers and stuff, but they are covers, but they're not all of his, like I've listened to all of his stuff, I think. Everything I can keep up with because he's very prolific. He puts out a lot of stuff. And be if somebody has something that they've recorded and they've released, whether like anybody has heard it, he is very professional in the way that he'll list that it is that he's borrowed it from somebody, whether it be a famous song or something that nobody's heard, if they've got the rights to it, you know what I mean? Or if it's been previously released by somebody else, he'll always write that down. He's just the good guy of great guitar is what he is.
Yes, and it's so it's like that is debuted at number 2 on the US Billboard Top Blues Album chart in the week of August 31, 2002. So all do you think all the songs are really a top hit songs that they climb on the chart?
Well, as his stuff came out, like during the earlier years, like in 2010 to 2015, probably, he had, I don't know how to explain this exactly. He had a different following because everybody just sort of lost their minds. I've got to speak the truth. After about 2019, people just started listening to anybody who walked into a studio and had the voice fixed and the instrument fixed and everything else. People weren't paying much attention to the live music and how important it was that you have an actual art, that it becomes an art for you, and that you have all this talent. People weren't willing to sit and listen to a 10-minute song of guitar perfection. They wanted to hear something, and I have to admit, I was one of these people. Of course, I'm not much of a pop, like recent pop person. There's a few good ones, but most people just sort of, you know, your attention span has been shortened with YouTube and the internet and everything. So it's like, nah, it takes too long. So I think he just got left for the older, like anybody 35 and up, really. and the people who have already learned to really appreciate music. So this is the type of music that he drives towards, is people who are have an appreciation of what it takes to do what he does. And he's, and he always has the best musicians. Like, if I could tell you the names of the people he has to play with him live that have been from other bands, it would blow your mind. Like, and I've got a list of them. Yeah, and he's like, he was a young guy and he was working with people from the Stevie, he was like 12 and he's working with people from Stevie Ray Vaughan's band and B.B. King's band, and these people never ever forget. And Eric Clapton, he had on his first big show. Eric Clapton actually came and played a duet with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Bonamassa is a member of jazz funk band Rock Candy Funk Party. In 2013, they released their debut album, We Want Groove. It was followed by Rock Candy Funk Party, Gates, New York, live at the Iridium. The show was recorded over 3 nights in the Iridium Jazz Club in New York City, and the band played during Conan on February 10, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Conan is still there. No more Conan, yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry. Bye-bye. Yeah. I think it was his hair that did it. I'm not too sure, but he's had some great places to be able, like venues to be able to play, and some really dedicated people, like talk show hosts and stars and that follow him around quite a bit.
Yes.
They
said Bonamassa produced podcasts with the other guitar aficionado. Have you listened to their podcast?
No, I haven't. I was really busy listening to ours.
Oh, yes.
No, and Stuff You Should Know, because I just cannot get enough of Stuff You Should Know. So,
oh, definitely.
Joe Bonamassa also did a lot of, he's worked with a lot of different people doing collaborative efforts. Like, he has this woman that, when I heard her on one of his concert things, her name is Beth Hart. And I became a huge fan of hers as well. And she has a very interesting backstory too. She'd been a heroin addict and an alcoholic. And she had this unbelievable voice that was just God-given. And this crazy look to her. And she heard of Joe and she applied for a backup singer. Yes. With him, and he heard her voice and he said, I want to hire you, but I want you to do a duet with me. And from there on in, she just went crazy for her, and she's still working, and she's been clean now for like 15 years, and it had a lot to do with Joe.
Okay.
Because he's like all about the guitar. It's not about partying. It's not about anything. He says, you can keep all your booze and all your M&Ms. He says, but if there isn't Diet Coke in my dressing room, I will lose my mind.
Oh, yes. Probably.
So he has a couple of two or three duet albums. Like 2013, he has one with Beth Hart. He has another one. I think he did one in, it was 2014, live in Amsterdam with Beth Hart. So you can always check all that stuff out too, because she's really got a voice that you just aren't going to hear every day. It's not really high, but it's crazy good. Oh, and one in 2011 they did too.
Oh, yes, it's saying Bonamassa was first exposed to Beth Hart's music after seeing her play several television performances.
Mm-hmm.
The two would be often cross paths when playing shows separately in Europe. And Bonamassa became very impressed with Hart when they caught her show at the Blue Ball Festival in Le Creme, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's be awesome, eh?
Well, he and I want to mention that he I watched the entire everything I could before he did the Royal Albert Hall for the first time.
Yes.
And he was so hyped about it, like so stoked. And he has one sister and his parents, and they showed them being interviewed on the way from the airport, and it was in wherever it is in England that they do that. I'm geographically not well placed, you know what I mean? Yeah. I know
Yeah.
where I live, and that's pretty much it. And I have no concept of anything, any direction or anything, and except for music. And his parents and his sister were talking about how excited they were because ever since he was like 8, he had talked about doing something at the Royal Albert Hall. And so it was just to watch that whole video. You can see it on YouTube or on Netflix most times. And
Yeah.
or you can just pick it up someplace, probably now because it's an older video. And it's just worth watching every second of it.
Oh, yes. And it says that between 2002 and 2006, Bonamassa had three studio albums hit number one on the Billboard Blues charts, and all five of his solo studio albums made the top 10. Wow. So it's one of a kind. It's phenomenal, eh?
Oh, he is. I mean, really, you gotta, if you've got, he's not a guy who's gonna play a ditty in 3 minutes because that's usual. That's the standard time for a radio play song is 3 to 3.5 minutes, right?
Yes.
And his stuff, sort of like Slow Gin, I think is 11 minutes. Who Killed John Henry or the Ballad of John Henry is 13 minutes, but that amount of time isn't even enough because you just want to hear more, you know?
Yeah.
So he needs that amount of time. You can't cram all that kind of talent into there. And he is not an acoustic. He says, I'd love to be an acoustic player, but I don't like it. He says, I'm sorry. He said, I can't get the same control over the my strings or the sounds that I want with an acoustic. He says, I do it, and he has done it. I've heard it lots and lots of his songs. He says, but I do it because it needs to be done. But he says, I'd rather not do it. He's an electric guy, and he has the biggest collection of any musician of amps and guitars.
Oh wow, that's be awesome. So before we go on, Miss NJ, I want to shout out to the people listening to us, okay?
Oh, for sure.
People listening in Canada, thank you so much. We are 46%.
Thanks, eh?
Yes, and the United States, we are 42%. Thank you so much. And the rest, Brazil is 3%, and the rest, Philippines, India, Colombia, Chile, Peru, Australia, Sudan, Honduras, Costa Rica, Germany, Hong Kong, Ecuador, Greece, United Kingdom, Israel, Mexico, Belgium, and France. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast.
Are you kidding me? Oh
Yes.
my God, that is so incredibly cool.
Those
Thank
are
you.
the countries listening to us, Miss Anjay. What do
That
you
is
think?
unbelievable. Thank you. Thank you. I can't get two people to listen to me when I talk as a rule. Wow. I'm gonna have to learn my geography better.
Talk things that people like, so we want to thank them and shout out to them. So before it's like, oh, we have 9 countries. No, now it's like we have 29.
Yeah.
That's be awesome, right?
Hey, you have like a we have a way of getting messages from them, don't we?
Yes, we do have. If we have a website that they can, shout out us we have, I will share to you the website where they can email or they can shout out to us.
Great. Well, yeah, you should let everybody and me know what that is, because because they can always suggest things that they want us, you know, that I can
about, right.
Working on.
So right now, I'm inviting you people listening to us. I'm inviting you to participate of what we are talking about. If you want to give us a topic to talk about, a singer, a musician, a guitarist, a band, whatever, music, any, topic.
Yeah, any band concept or lyricist or...
Just go to our website. It's Music101 by Anchor. If you don't know the exact address, just Google it, Music101. Anchor FM, it automatically go to the website where you can see there the email message voice. We can hear your message. So please do participate on our discussion. Give us your topic that you want to discuss, and we are happy to do so. Right, Miss Anjay?
Absolutely. And if you have any complaints, let us know. Maybe we can fix something for you. And if we can't, yes. Well, that's life. But mostly we'll give it a shot. Mostly we will give it a shot. Now, I don't understand any language except for dos cervezas, por favor, and two beer, please, in Canadian, because I am Canadian. But other than that, I'm pretty sure that Daniel is like he's just a big box of information and languages. So,
yes. If you have rejection or objection to what we're talking about, you can just shout out to us. We are acknowledging it and we're gonna revise it, right, Miss Anjay?
Absolutely, we'd love to hear from you as well.
Yeah. Yes, so what else you can say about Joe Bonamassa?
I can tell you that he has, when he goes on tour, he has some of the best, some of the people, the names that you would know, because most people don't know the background names, like the people that are playing on the drums or the keyboardist or the, you know, the percussionist or the bass player. But he has people that are of the highest rank always playing behind him. Always. And he has Stevie Ray Vaughan's old piano player. He has Anton Figg, who used to be on, what's his name? The guy you were talking about.
Eric Clapton?
No, the talk show guy.
Conan,
yeah. I think it was his band leader guy. And he's got Carmen or Ty Wayman. If you ever get a chance to look him up, he's unbelievable. I'm an artist as well, so I painted a mural in a shop for a music shop once, and I had to put him on the drums, and the thing that looks the most like anybody, and I had Bruce Springsteen and everybody, but I had this guy with his hair just a flying big blonde hair, and he looks the most like he should. Everybody else just sort of looks like a cartoon character, which is sort of how it was supposed to be. But check out the people that play behind him, the stuff that he does. You can find most of his stuff on YouTube, and I know you can listen to pretty much everything on Spotify. I'm almost positive because yes. I'm on Spotify and I see what you can get from there. But YouTube will give you the videos. And he's just a very, very talented guy. And I think that he needs a little bit more a little bit more attention paid to him.
So if you compare Joe Bonamassa to Jeff Beck, what's the big difference?
Okay, well, Jeff Beck he was like a progressive guy. He did like a progressive sound I wasn't really that big of a Jeff Beck fan. I mean, I thought his personality from what I'd read and seen on videos and stuff, and I saw him once, and he seemed like a very nice chap, but I wasn't really into his type of music. And as I've mentioned before, I'm not a slow song person, really. But yes, when it comes to Joe Bonamassa, he has a few that are, those are the ones that are going to get you. They're going to mesmerize you. They're going to give you goosebumps just by listening to him play. And now that he has taken vocal lessons, because when he was about 18 and he was with this black, I think it was called Black Yard Communion or something. I can't remember what it was. Sorry, I didn't write it down because I just I don't think about it all that much because I wasn't that thrilled with him then. He couldn't really sing. He was kind of thrashing out his voice because it was more rock. But he was only with him for a few years, and he decided to go into what he loved, which was rock blues genre. And he started taking vocal lessons. And his voice is incredible. But he said it took a few years for him to get it there because you have to relearn the thing, like, or you have to repair the things you've done wrong. And that's what the problem was, is that he'd done a lot of damage to his voice. And I understand that because I've done that to mine. But he has this voice, he has a great range, and he can sing things and hold notes, and he has exactly the right kind of compression with everything that he plays, but he doesn't make his voice the first and foremost. And he has lots of fast stuff that's really kind of like swing dance rock things.
Like, so how about Joe Bonamassa to Jimi Hendrix?
Totally, we're talking ducks and bananas.
I thought you say apple and orange.
No, yeah, that's why I went with ducks and bananas, because everybody expects the apples and oranges. And I think apples and oranges are both fruit, so that's good enough for me. But ducks and bananas are totally different. Jimi Hendrix. Oh, you know, and that was another big influence on him, was Jimi Hendrix. He can totally do Jimi Hendrix. And he does lots of stuff like Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, he's just got this range of entertainment value that you just really can't get anywhere else. And he always wears a suit when he plays.
Yes.
No matter what kind of venue he's at, but it's always pretty classy one. It's not like he's like some opera singer or something, but he picks a place always with good sound quality, you know, good amplification. But he always wears a suit now, because he used to wear like a Death to Everyone t-shirt with long greasy hair when he was heavier. Now he's cleaned up, and he always wears sunglasses, and people always want to know why he's wearing the sunglasses. And he says that it is because the lights, and I understand this because I've been there, the lights will give you a migraine in no time.
Wow.
And he wants to be able to, and he can look down from his glasses, but he doesn't need to look down at his guitar ever, because he has been playing since he was 4 years old.
Yes.
And before we wrap this up, I wanted to tell you, he has in his collection as of 2021, 400 precision guitars, electric guitars.
Wow.
And 400 amps, or over 400 guitars and over 400 amps.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Right?
He has his own little museum. It's called Bonham Museum.
Where? In New York?
It's in New York, yeah.
Oh. We need to go to New York.
If you can do it there, man, you can do it anywhere. Seems to me if you can do it anywhere, you can probably do it in New York too, but it depends on what you're doing. He has You can look it up on the website and see the collection on YouTube. I think it's on Google or something. Just Google it and request Joe Bonamassa's whole museum of guitars and amps, and the picture will blow your mind. I'm serious. I looked at it and went, this can't even be real. It can't.
Oh, wow. Before we go on, I want to invite our listeners here in Music 101 to my other podcast, Food 101, on my third season with Chef Alessandro. Chef Alessandro is one of the executive chef in one of the 5-star hotel in downtown Toronto. So we talk about Italian cuisine and do listen if you want to learn about Italian cuisine. And my Food 101 is on the top 12 best food podcasts on the planet.
And yay!
Yay! We're aiming for number 10. Yes. Plus one more Book 101 review is on the top 6 best book review podcasts, interviewing writers all over the world, because Book 101 review is always created to empower writers all over the world. So my latest episode is Mr. Theo Burnett, he is author of Sapiens Trilogy. So please do listen. And my third season is coming. I have a new co-host. Chris Tetterblay is one award-winning author and author of the book Wildemore Apocalypse Trilogy. So please do listen, Food 101 and Book 101 review.
I love Italian. I can't wait.
Italiano, eh? Parla Italiano. Si,
senor. Oh, I like the men. I like the view. I like the food. I'm all good with all of it. I can't wait to listen to it.
Yes. Please do listen. So, Miss NJ, what else you can say about Joe Bonamassa?
Well, take 10 minutes out of your life if you want to get unstressed. And I want you to please listen to the songs that I mentioned if you can. You have to listen to, if you want something that's going to give you goosebumps, listen to Mountain Time. If you want something that's up-tempo, go for Mountain Climbing, which is all about working so hard and not feeling like you're getting anywhere. And how you will eventually. And the Ballad of John Henry just kicks ass. It is so good and so powerful. And they're not all 10 minutes long, but, you know, they're a little longer, but it's worth it to hear it.
Yes. So if you compare Joe Bonamassa to Jimmy Page, what's the big difference?
Not really, to be quite honest, except that Joe's better.
Yeah.
Because that's all he does. Like, he's the front guy, so he's not just playing behind. But he's very, Jimmy Page was very much, he's very much into the blues. That's what Zeppelin was about, was sort of reconstructing blues. It was rock turned, or blues turned into rock. And that's very much a Joe Bonamassa thing. But it's that his specialty is being the front guy playing that guitar the entire time with great vocals and unbelievable backup vocalists and musicians.
Yes, people, let's support Joe Bonamassa because he's one of the kind artists. Let's call him artist because he's a guitarist, singer, and songwriter.
So what And he started at the age of 4. I mean, who can say that you can't check somebody out that started at the age of 4? And he has a J. Bonamassa TV, so you can just go online and look up his thing. And he's on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. And I give him messages all the time on Instagram and, you know, like, he's easy to get in touch with and he'll respond to you because he's a cool guy.
Yes. So your husband is not get jealous.
Yeah. He might, you know, he might respond to you like he did to me, going, "Will you quit bothering me, please?" but I don't think so. If you're not weird like me, then I'm sure he'll be just fine.
So, people, once again, let's support Joe Bonamassa because he's one of a kind. Because at the present, he did really a raising fund for the COVID-19 pandemic. He's one of a kind. He's doing, he raised the program. I think he did a release, a live album and film, now serving royalty live from the Ryman or whatever on June 11, 2021. It was from this one night only concert and historic Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee on September 20, 2020. The show was live streamed at the time and raised $32,000 for the NASA Fueling Musician Program, which has been helping financially struggling musicians during the COVID-19 pandemic.
See? Yeah.
He's awesome, guys. So let's support him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a good musician. And that's our sort of, that's my in between pick, sort of the person that I think that you maybe need to know about so that you can appreciate the people that are not always right there with the media in their face. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because just because the media says exactly what you should listen to and they show you what they want you to hear doesn't mean that you don't have a choice to watch other things.
Yes, true. So thank you, Ms. Sanjay, for your time.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. Morikon people, see you soon.
Bye-bye.